This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. This morning, State Attorney General Claire Connors joins us to talk about the decision to proceed with the TMT construction and what lies ahead. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you carving time out.
Sure thing.
Now, I don't know if it's just me, but as far as the timing of this, because Monday is when they're going to, I think, block off access at the mountain because they're going to start to bring in the equipment that needs to be staged up at the site. But next week is a big anniversary of the landing on the moon, Apollo.
Right,
and
right.
There's a lot of focus on space and the work that needs to be done out there. You think there's a coincidence there or what?
There very well could be a coincidence. I know that the decision to proceed with construction is primarily made by TMT. They need to be ready to start. The notice to proceed came out a few weeks ago, and that gave the green light to TMT to talk about or to really think about when it was going to start construction. So it very well could be part of the equation.
You folks had the news conference the other day talking about the plans because you want to let the public know about what to expect. Can you go over, I guess, what's the latest for Monday?
Sure. We felt it was very important to put the public on notice about the timing of the beginning of construction, the period that we thought construction might take place. And it is, as we said publicly, next week. Construction is expected to begin the week of July 15th. Because of the nature of the equipment that is going to be transported by TMT and that needs to get up to the summit area where the construction will be, there will be possible road closures or impact to the commuting public, and we thought that was important to at least know, at least to let the commuting public know that, for example, DKI Highway might have some lanes that would be temporarily closed. The traffic is expected to continue both ways on DKI. That is the goal, but there might be some impact, so we thought it was important to let the public know.
And what are the state's responsibilities to the company behind TMT about access?
The responsibilities about access are really just the responsibilities of the state to keep access available to those who have lawful rights to be on the road. So that is a concern for all law enforcement, for all people who are charged with the public safety and public welfare, that the roads are clear so that things like construction equipment, if it's lawfully there and permitted to be there, can be transported. Obviously, there's a lot going on Mauna Kea. There are existing observatories. They have needs as well. They need to be able to access the observatories. There are tour groups that get up to Mauna Kea. There's a lot of activity, cultural practitioners who go that we have an obligation to ensure access for. And so part of the obligation as it plays out in this instance is that the state and the county officials and everyone involved in ensuring the public welfare is committed to ensuring public access on those roadways.
And what about access then for the cultural practitioners who feel they have a right to be up there?
Right. As we sit here now, the mountain is open. We haven't said that anyone is going to be precluded or prevented from going up to the mountain to work, again, if you're with an observatory, to be a part of a tour group, or importantly, to practice any kind of cultural practices that you engage in. The hope is that we can keep the mountain open. Obviously, these road closures of Mauna Kea Access Road are directly related to the vehicles being transported up there. We really hope that can be kept to a minimum for just days, but that's important as a safety measure to ensure that everyone is safe, the people driving the construction equipment, the people who are otherwise going up the road. So our hope is that we can keep the mountain open. We'll have to see what happens and whether or not that will change. There are a lot of rules on the mountain that are a part of the whole stewardship obligation of the state. There are rules against camping without a permit. I believe DLNR just issued rules about no hunting in certain areas. We obviously don't want weapons or firearms in certain areas that are of a concern. There are DHHL lands that are private. They're not public. So there are a lot of rules, and those rules are important because they're designed to ensure the stewardship of a very fragile ecology on Mauna Kea. Mauna Kea presents a lot of dangers or challenges from altitude to just the inaccessibility of resources of a medical sort. So we really want to be sure that everyone is following the rules and taking care of there.
Now, the governor at the news conference acknowledged and apologized for the state's shortcomings in the past. It's been a long battle. There's been a criticism about the management or lack of the mountain that some people consider sacred. Talk about, I guess, acknowledging the hurt that's been caused in our community, but then also what needs to be done, going forward, because there are people that don't agree with the decision to allow TMT to continue up there.
Right, right. We understand that there is opposition, and we want to ensure that people who are still opposed to the construction of TMT, even after it's gone through a very lengthy permitting review process, 10 years, in fact, and it's gone through a whole legal process where a lot of these voices were heard, a lot of the arguments were made, a lot of the people that you continue to hear from who are in opposition were part of that contested case hearing and part of the whole process that resulted in the Supreme Court's decision to allow construction to go. But we do understand that even then, and even now, there is opposition, and we just ask that people who do oppose the telescope, that they express their opposition and their positions lawfully, and that they really keep their conduct legal and lawful. There's a difference between lawful speech and unlawful conduct. We really encourage people to follow the laws, even as they're expressing their opposition. And we do. We understand that this is hard. There are also a number of people who've worked for a long period of time to get this telescope to the place that it is now, and there are a lot of people who do support this project, and a lot of those voices have come to the table at this point too to help move this project forward safely and competently.
And Mayor Harry Kim's vision for the mountain allows for the for both to happen, for people to be able to have access up there and protect the mountain that they believe is sacred, and yet for this community of scientists, astronomers, to coexist up there in the mountain. I know there's been a lot of talk and a lot of fear about what the state is doing, and there is concern about safety and if there's going to be any confrontation. Can you talk about some of the issues? I know that there were concerns about equipment that was brought in, the Sound Canyon, I think we've been hearing about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. No, happily. Law enforcement's role in this is to protect the public. Law enforcement has a duty to protect the public's welfare, the safety of the public, and they take that obligation very seriously. We have to also be reactive. We don't go in with riot gear if it's not warranted. We don't go in with the idea that we're going to use certain types of force if it's not warranted. That is not what law enforcement is about. The community of law enforcement officers come from our community. They come from Hawaii Island. They come from our own communities. They don't have any agenda other than to ensure everyone is safe. And it is our hope that we don't have to use riot gear, that we don't have to use any of these scary tactics, that everything is peaceful, that everything is lawful. That is what we hope as well. And along those lines, we really hope that people think about their conduct and that they think about the kind of stresses that play into a confrontation like this if one is to happen. And again, I think you mentioned the sound cannon. We think that one of the most important things that we can do is to communicate effectively with people. And so this long-range acoustic device, which is called an LRAD, is a device that has been used when large numbers of people have gathered in order to communicate with people. And that is the intended use. We are not doing our job if we are not able to communicate with large groups of people, if we're not able to, on behalf of law enforcement, for example, clearly communicate to people what our instructions are if there is a blockage of the road or if there's something that needs to be conveyed effectively to the public. So we will need a public communications device, and the LRAD serves that function. So it is unfortunate that there has been so much fear and anxiety and a negative narrative around this device in the public, and every opportunity we've had to dispel that, we've taken it. People have written to us, we've written back. People have called us, we've spoken to them. We're in a lot of conversation with a lot of people, including people who oppose this project, and every time we talk to them, they understand that we are coming from a place of we're all coming from the same place. We all want to protect Mauna Kea, and we all want to protect the people who come to Mauna Kea. And when we all collect on that set of values, where we all agree, then we find a way forward. And I do believe, you mentioned Mayor Kim's vision. It's an important vision. It is a really important and challenging effort that Mayor Kim has undertaken. But it is the way forward. That is how we are going to get through this. by jumping on board with his vision and those who are working with him to get to that place beyond this particular set of circumstances.
You know, following the news conference that the governor had on Wednesday, we did reach out to TMT opponents. We talked to Keloha Peixota. She had some concerns about a recent lawsuit that they filed.
First of all, there is a legitimate lawsuit that we filed. I don't know, the attorney general is now claiming to be the judge, jury, and executioner, claiming that the case has no merit. Last time I checked, the court has to determine that. That lawsuit is to protect the people of Hawaii, not just the protectors, but the people of Hawaii. You know, if the TMT is supposed to put up a bond, and it's a huge bond, it's not a trivial amount, it's a big amount, as the 1977 Mauna Kea plan reports, then they need to put up the bond. And if they don't put up the bond and they start construction and they cannot finish, the people of Hawaii are going to be stuck with that. Just like the rail, the super ferry. We've seen all of these bad political projects left to the taxpayers of Hawaii. This is irresponsible for them to try to move forward without having the court say yes.
Want to respond to that, this lawsuit? What exactly does that entail?
Sure. So certainly I wasn't acting as the judge when I was asked about my preliminary review of the lawsuit. I have reviewed the claims. I don't believe any of them do have merit. Of course, I understand the concerns that are raised by Ms. Peixota. But in terms of whether or not that's going to affect construction, it does not appear that it will affect the ability of TMT to begin. Again, we've been through a very lengthy legal process, and Ms. Peixota was part of the contested case hearing. Her views and her positions were heard, and they were a part of everything that resulted in the Supreme Court's order allowing this to proceed. So there are concerns, certainly, about how the public resources are utilized. Those are concerns the state has as well. That's why we have a permitting process. That's why we make certain conditions incumbent on the ability of someone to get a lease, to get a permit, to be able to do this kind of construction in our state. And we have followed those steps. That has been a very lengthy, and it's been a very detailed, and it's been a very extensive process engaged in by the state. And so a lot of the concerns that she's addressing are concerns that are built into the review process the state has required of TMT and has required of this project.
And the status of that challenge on the bond issue?
I believe the lawsuit was filed, so we'll litigate it, and I won't speak to the merits of it beyond the more generalized areas I just discussed, because it will be in litigation.
Okay, and then anything else that you think, I don't know, if there's information out there that you think is bad information that you want to set the record straight on?
Sure. Yeah, I do think it is really important to get clear that what law enforcement is intending to do in the weeks or the days, I should say, where we expect there to be a lot of activity on Mauna Kea, is that their commitment is to keep people safe. And to the extent that we know people want to gather, to the extent we know people want to pule, that people want to be a part of what is happening, which is a very big event for the state of Hawaii, in particular for the island of Hawaii, we want to make sure that people are safe in doing so. We encourage people not to gather on Mauna Kea for a number of reasons, right? We mentioned the altitude is a really significant concern. The altitude is something that can cause the onset of sickness very quickly. There is no medical facility on Mauna Kea. Let's be very clear. If you run into difficulty on a medical level, the resources to help you are very limited. And we know that from a tourist who was up there a few weeks ago and ran into some trouble. It wasn't so much he had had time to acclimate, but it was the first responders who came to help him who hadn't had time to acclimate because they were responding to an emergency that places law enforcement and first responders in harm's way too. So we really want to emphasize that the ecology of Mauna Kea, the landscape of Mauna Kea is very fragile. There are a lot of endangered species up there. DLNR and the other stewards of the mountain have done a lot to protect that, and we really ask that everyone comes to Mauna Kea, has that idea of stewardship, has that idea of safety, and has that idea of we're all in this together as the forefront issue in their minds.
Okay, and if we could switch gears here, in the just recent weeks, your office has issued a number of press releases about lawsuits that we are joining in with other states across the country. There are a number of them, and I know it started out with your predecessor, Doug Chin, filing the Hawaii versus Trump lawsuit over the immigration issues. So can you go down the list? Because while there are folks who might agree, and then there, you know, with your position, there are others who don't. But I think taxpayers might want to know what kind of resources are we spending to join in these lawsuits.
Sure. Yes, we do coordinate quite extensively with other states because that's a way to pool our resources. When we see a legal issue that's arisen, we decide collectively and as an individual state as well, how we want to proceed to address an issue. So I personally have a two-part test that I engage in on behalf of the state. I take a look at the issue. I make sure that there is a legal issue that really matters to Hawaii. There are a lot of legal issues out there. Not all of them really affect us directly. Secondly, I look at the nature of the issue. Is this something, if we join this lawsuit or if we file onto this brief, is this something that is going to benefit the people of Hawaii? That's the second part of my test. It really has to be a cost-benefit analysis because it'll decide how many resources we put towards something. In the Trump v. Hawaii case, we were one of the lead plaintiffs. We were bearing a lot of those costs, and it was a very important issue that was pursued by the state of Hawaii. We, even under A.G. Chin, were pursuing a lot of other cases as well, but not as the lead plaintiff, perhaps. So I'd say every week I make a decision on 5, 6, 7 cases whether or not we join. I join those that I feel meet that two-part test on behalf of the people of Hawaii, and I decline to join. Doesn't mean I don't agree with that issue. It doesn't mean I don't agree that it's an important thing to litigate. It's just that it doesn't rise to the level where we as a state should put resources towards that.
Talk about a couple of the recent cases that we've just joined in.
Sure. So we just joined in a case to address discrimination against LGBTQ members who were experiencing employment discrimination. We joined in a Supreme Court brief on that issue. We also recently filed a case. We joined a bunch of states in addressing the administration's lack of accountability towards children who are in detention centers. We think that's an important issue. And the way in which we joined in that issue was a cost-benefit analysis as well. So there have been a number of cases of that level of import that we've joined in recently.
Now, also, we have just gotten a verdict in the Ke Aloha public corruption case, and I know your office is involved because of appearances of conflict of interest and maybe actual conflicts. How are you looking at the situation there with the cases that you've had to take out of their hands?
Sure. That's exactly the process that we're engaged in. As you might recall, our office did file a petition with the Supreme Court, a writ actually with the Supreme Court early on to ask Mr. Kaneshiro, then the prosecutor, to step down during the period that these cases were unfolding in federal court, but also related to target letter he had gotten specifically from federal investigators. Now our role is more looking at conflicts that might exist with the prosecutor's office, and we will play a role in deciding whether or not we might take that case because there's a conflict. Often the prosecutors come to us and say, we believe there's a conflict. Will you take this case? Sometimes we are also conflicted out, so we have possibly another county prosecutor take it. So it's a process we're engaged in, and we're always engaged in that process because there's all other kinds of conflicts not related to this matter that arise. But we have been taking a particular look for cases that might be conflicted out related to this case.
How many cases are we handling now, can you say?
Related to this case, probably a handful. And it's been a discussion, again, with the prosecutor's office about the conflict, and there's a whole process in place that we follow.
Have we had to reach out to another county to take over any cases?
That's a good question. I want to say we may have, but I can't affirmatively say one or the other as I think through the cases.
Okay. And then I know there is a review of Catherine K. Aloha's cases that she handled, and I imagine that's going to be a long list as well.
Right. And I believe the prosecutor's office is obligated first and foremost to do their own conflict review of that. We certainly have been playing on a case-by-case basis a role in that as well.
Okay. And anything else? I mean, you've been on the job here for a few months. Any other priorities that you just want to underscore? We've probably got about a minute left or so.
Sure. First of all, it's been an honor. It's been 6 months, but it's been an honor to be in this role. I went through my first legislative season and took my role of advising the legislature very seriously. I also advised the executive and the departments. The whole department does. There are 800 people in the Department of the Attorney General, and they're all excellent stewards of our public obligations, and it's been just an honor to work with all these individuals. And we also take our obligation to protect the public very seriously as well. And when we're making those decisions about what cases to join, what kinds of cases we should bring, how we should be involved in the whole legal world, the protection and the well-being of the public is our first and foremost priority.
Okay. Well, Claire Connors, thank you very much for carving time for us this morning.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you having in here. We have been talking with Hawaii Attorney General Claire Connors in advance of Monday's road closure of the Mauna Kea Access Road. Access to that area during the closure will be limited to ensure the safe transport of heavy machinery.